You're listening to The Jerry Van Show. And remember this, there's always more to the story. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Radio Bookshelf Hour. I'm Jerry Van. I'm glad you joined us today. We have seen we talk about where politics and policy meet, where applied common sense makes a difference. Let's get started.
CSBCCommunications.com, your common sense broadcast network.
Coming up this season on The Real Housewives of Isis.
It's only 3 days till the beheading, and I've got no idea what I'm going to wear.
Abdul seduced me online. He had me at free healthcare. So this is my sixth marriage. I've been widowed 5 times. 6 times.
I'm so glad I've moved over here. It's everything those guys on the chat rooms told me it would be, and it's full of so many wonderful surprises.
Didn't have to do this in Birmingham. Bullshit!
Are you ready, girls?
Yeah, hang on, I'm recording it for Instagram.
Ta-da! What do you think? Oh, Ahmed surprised me with it yesterday.
Hashtag OMG, hashtag Jihadi Jane, hashtag Death to the West ISIS emojis.
Oh, babes, I love it. You look gorgeous.
She looked massive. You're gonna need a lot of Semtex to kill that one.
Oh, guys.
Hey, ladies. What do you think of this?
Awkward.
What a complete beach. She knew I had that jacket. Copies everything. Copy this.
Oh, my God. It was so cringe. Hashtag matchy matchy.
Times like this, I wish I'd never moved out here.
Coming up next week.
I won't stop talking about his 40 virgins. Why can't he be happy with me?
Ali bought me a new chain, which is 8 foot long. So I can almost get outside, which is great.
Totally illegal. Trump calls on feds to get involved after Project Veritas, one of the videos, alleges that Ilhan Omar voter fraud machine is in full motion in her district in Minnesota. A new Project Veritas video that was released Sunday exposed an alleged Minneapolis ballot harvesting scheme involving allies and associates of none other than Representative Ilhan Omar. Project Veritas obtained the deleted Snapchat photos from Leben Mohammed, who said in July the videos that he was collecting ballots to help his brother Jamal Osman win the race for the vacant Ward 6 in Minneapolis council seat. He said, numbers don't lie, numbers don't lie. You can see my car is full. All of these here are absentee ballots. Can't you see? Look at these. My car is full, he said. All of these are for Jamal Osman. We got 300 today for Jamal Osman only. Those are the exact words of Mohammed. That video is up on GSBCnetwork.com and JamesNapier.com.
You're listening to The Jerry Van Show. And remember this. There's always more to the story. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Radio Bookshelf Hour. I'm Jerry Van. I'm glad you joined us today. We have seen we talk about where politics and policy meet, where applied common sense makes a difference. Let's get started.
CSBCCommunications.com, your common sense broadcast network.
Money is everything, he said. Money is the king of the world. Now, this is a person that's ballot harvesting in Minnesota. If you got no money, you should not be here, period. You know what I'm saying. Project Veritas said Omar Jamal, a political insider and employee at the Ramsey County Sheriff's Office, was central to its investigation. It's an open secret that Ilhan Omar will do anything that she can to get elected, and she has hundreds of people on the street harvesting ballots. Those are the words of Jamal, who chairs the Somali watchdog group in Minnesota. I'm afraid it's already too big to stop, he said. Maybe it's too late. Maybe it's already too big to stop, he said. There's a lot of people invested in this. and they don't care how they did it. We win, and that's it. Now, during the course of his involvement in the investigation, Jamal conducted an undercover interview of a Somali American whose function was to harvest ballots in the community and has had ballot harvesters come to his home. He claimed Omar operatives request ballots and fill them out for voters. They come to us, he said. They come to our homes. This year, you will vote for Ilhan, he said. They said, we will make the absentee ballots. We will fill out the forms for you, and when you get them back, we will again fill it out and send it. He then said he gets paid after the ballots are signed and documented. Now, this is all in a video, undercover video, by Project Veritas. I have good friends that work undercover in Project Veritas. You can trust this. You can believe this. In another recorded conversation obtained by the undercover Project Veritas, Mohammed describes how he collects ballots from elderly residents and delivers them to the polling locations. According to Project Veritas, the alleged ballot harvesting scheme targets senior citizens in the community at Horn Towers and residents at the Riverside Plaza Apartments in Minneapolis. One Minneapolis source told Project Veritas that Ali Assi Gainley, deputy district director for Omar's campaign, is a key figure in the ballot harvesting scheme. Remember that. Her campaign, district director for Omar's campaign, Ali Assi Gainley. They have perfected the system, said the informant. This is what they do. They will tell you, we are applying for your ballot. They take a picture of your social security and your driver's license number. They have a database, and when the ballot comes, they track it, and sometimes they make fake emails. They track the ballot, then they come and pick up the ballot unopened. She also accused the Omar campaign of running a cash for vote scheme. Now, the campaign manager for Ilhan Omar Gainey, who's working in Ilhan's campaign harvest, ballot harvesting, is the one who is managing the voting place. They bring them, they line them, they put the open ballots in there, and then they take them in and say, here are the people, mark the ballots. No, and the ones that didn't vote on ballots, the young people and the woman and the stuff, they are paying cash, 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 she said. I'm referring to the undercover agent. They were carrying bags of money, and when you vote, then they mark you off. Then you get in the van, and they give you the cash. So there is vested interest, but we are victims of the system, she said. They don't give a crap about any Somali. Another source, known as Jamal, is involved with the Minnesota DFL party and said the DFL party will fight you if you speak up.
You're listening to The Jerry Van Show. And remember this, there's always more to the story. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Radio Book Show Hour. I'm Jerry Van. I'm glad you joined us today. We have seen we talk about where politics and policy meet, where applied common sense makes a difference. Let's get started.
CSBCCommunications.com, your common sense broadcast network.
But there are violations of state and federal laws. Minnesota prohibits third parties from collecting absentee ballots for more than three voters. And Jared Eddy, the chief legal officer for Project Veritas, said Mohammed and others involved in the operation have violated various state and federal laws. The federal laws, USC 597, USC 10307C, they're very clear. In the case of 597, it is punishable by up to 2 years in prison, and 10307 is punishable up by 10,000 in fines and 5 years in prison. Minnesota statutes prohibit paying a person or receiving money to register to vote or to vote. There is a state felony, and this is it. A state felony punishable by more than 1 year imprisonment. The federal laws, 20511, and the Minnesota statute 21107, prohibit anyone from using undue influence, threats, intimidation, or fraud to influence a person's vote or to influence them to vote at all. James O'Keefe is the founder and CEO of Project Veritas, and his team had cameras on the ground for several months and plans to release more footage in the coming days. Meanwhile, State Representative Steve Drazkowski has called a press conference, and it was held just a few hours ago to discuss a significant investigation into voter fraud involving Ilhan Omar and absentee ballots and in-person voting during the August 11, 2020 primary. President Trump also weighed in on the matter. President Trump, and I quote, "This is totally illegal and hope that the U.S. Attorney in Minnesota has this and other of her many misdeeds under serious review. If not, why not? We will win Minnesota because of her and law enforcement." So there's always more to the story, but the summary here is Project Veritas has released the results of an investigation into alleged ballot harvesting by supporters of Democrat Representative Ilhan Omar in Minnesota. Now remember, Minnesota is a swing state in the 2020 presidential election. And here are the important takeaways from the investigation taking place in Ilhan Omar's campaign in Minnesota. Ballot harvester Liban Mohammed, and I'm quoting, "Money is everything. Money is the king in this world. If you got no money, you should not be here, period. You know what I am saying. Money is everything, and a campaign is managed by money." Another important point Mohammed makes on video: numbers do not lie. Numbers do not lie. You can see my car is full. All these here are absentee ballots. Can't you see? Look at these. My cars are full. These are important takeaways from the video you just listened to. Paid voters, when we sign the voting document and they fill it out, is when they give us money. Ballot harvesting triangle: River Plaza Apartments, Horn Towers Senior Community, and 980 Hennepin polling site are all subject to fraud. The Minneapolis Somali Community Insider, it's open secret.
You're listening to The Jerry Van Show. And remember this, there's always more to the story. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Radio Book Show Hour. I'm Jerry Van. I'm glad you joined us today. We have seen we talk about where politics and policy meet, where applied common sense makes a difference. Let's get started.
CSBCCommunications.com, your common sense broadcast network.
Ilhan Omar will do anything she can to get elected. Now, the seniors at Horn Tower ballots compromised? Yes. Harvester, we request ballots for the seniors and they take them away. And here's the audio of the video. That video was up on JamesNapierJr.com, JerryVanShow.com, GSBCNetwork.com, GSBCCommunications.com, WPFLRadio.com. Just go to GSBC Network, you'll find it.
James O'Keefe here in downtown Minneapolis at the scene of the crime. The person you're about to meet, Liban Mohammed, a.k.a. King Liban I, boasts about the hundreds of absentee ballots in his car. This video is one of the first of its kind. A man self-incriminating himself, bragging about all the illegal ballot harvesting that he does.
Money is everything. Money is the king of this world. If you ain't got money, you should not be here, period. You know what I'm saying? Like is everything. Come in like about with that. Love all of dollar to you. You cannot campaign that. You gotta have it. investment to come back. You gotta have a fundraisers. You gotta have Wiley Rado. You gotta have the whole team.
Numbers don't lie. Numbers don't lie. What would you think? Gary, you were ha, what has were absent ballot, Salkayala, so much. Really? What has sudden, so much. What would ha, Gary? What would Kayala? What has school was Jamal Osman with Fury? Fury. 300 clear months sold out of Jamal Osman. Yeah?
You know who got me, sir. I'm in a mahal. Well, look up by some amish. Other way. وجنرالات إذا ماذا هو قامين يسوي سيدا أولو سعطان يا إلهي هاتا شغدوا سعطاء أدرساك سكس بامبلوني إلهي هاتا نواه ونا ونو تشيدا ساعدنا وو تشيدا وإيه بيه الرسا ساعديد هو بحيني
توين موين ستيل حاصلين توين موين ستيل حاصلين
I think he was both Ilhan Omar And Jamal, but I think he was more with Ilhan Omar. My name is Omar, O-M-A-R, Jamal, J-A-M-A-L. I'm right now part of the Ramsey County Sheriff's Office, but also I'm the chair of the Somali Watchdog Group, and I have been involved in the community for the last 20 years.
Omar Jamal is the latest brave Project Veritas insider to come forward and expose a voter fraud scheme in Minnesota that will shock you.
Well, I want to be part of this investigation because of ongoing election fraud that we feel that we should bring to the attention of everyone. Therefore, chances are we can do something about it.
When we spoke with Omar Jamal, he actually repeated our PV insider motto, be brave.
Do something about it.
Omar Jamal secretly recorded conversations with the players involved in the voter fraud scheme to expose the criminal behavior he says is victimizing his own community and the integrity of the election process.
Levan didn't get it in a unique way. He just got them the way that everybody before him, or even maybe even after him, will do, which is go to the elders, you know, maybe pay them and collect, you know, help, you know, to their men. He's helping them. So I think that's the process of collecting from the seniors from their buildings.
There was video. You can see the video. There was a video out and about that he has the ballots in his car.
Right.
And talking about the only way you can win is with money.
She uses money, and he's one of many people. He's not the only one who works for her. He was talking to his opponents and other people, saying that, you know what, here we are. You know, he was just boosting, you know.
He said, I have 300, and he had them in his hand. Got it right here.
Like a cash. Like cash. Like, well, question, have you ever asked yourself, how did he get them?
Yeah, how did
you
get them?
You just don't go, and, like, I was looking at them, and they were not filled. They were blank.
Right, they were, some were open.
Yeah. In the envelope still.
Who is the one filling out the absentee ballots?
Yeah, yeah, we didn't put it out.
Who is the campaign?
People who work with, like, Ilhan Omar and other candidates work for them.
Ilhan did a lot of Somali, huh?
Ilhan has a handful of people that work for her. They came to us to our apartments. And they tell us that this year you're going to vote for Ilhan. You don't go nowhere, you stay home, we will go to fill out for you absentee ballot. When it comes, we will come and get it. You just don't go nowhere, you stay here.
I think the purpose of collecting the ballots is to make sure that you fill them out and you make sure that the person you want get in there.
Wow. They fight you if you speak up.
Wow.
Like what? Like what? What? what can I do? Like, get jumped? Hell no. They ain't going. No, I'm good.
Okay, let me talk to you.
Yeah. And I got money, too. So I got to get them out to the pole, so I'll get them to the pole.
Okay.
Just don't forget me. I need some money. You know, it's all over.
I got you.
Listen. I'm going to hook you up.
All right. I'm working with Jamal Osman. Jamal Osman is running the city council in Minneapolis.
Right.
That's my young brother.
Videos saying that the only way to win is money. And who was the other one? He said it was money.
Our source inside the Somali community explains that as soon as early voting occurs, that's when ballot harvesting of the elderly happens. And one of the places it happens is at Cedar Riverside Apartments here in Minneapolis.
End of this street,
yes,
there's three towers called phone towers.
Okay.
And it's all seniors, and they took every ballot.
Every ballot. They just
every
take them from
single
them.
Ballot. They knock on the door and say, your ballots come, give it to me, give it to me.
They don't even pay them for it. They just take them.
No. And the ones that didn't vote on ballots, the young people and the women and stuff, they were paying cash. They were carrying bags of money the last 1 week here to drive people. And when you vote and they mark you off, then you get in the van, they give you a cash.
Well, after Wahaki and Ali Ghani, the money was brought by Ali Ghani. Ali Ghani is the campaign chair of Ilhan. He's a staffer in her office.
Ali
Ghani.
Ghani.
Was coordinating everything.
Ali is who's deputy director for Ilhan Omar here in Minneapolis, is part of people who are using cash to get votes and use that to make sure that he wins the election. He's very active in the community and making sure that whatever it takes to get her elected by any means necessary.
Based upon our undercover reporting, U.S. Congresswoman Ilhan Omar, also affectionately known as a member of the Squad, and her campaign may be behind one of the biggest voter fraud schemes in American history. But this time, we have it on tape.
The person who's working in Ilhan's campaign is the one who's managing the voting place. They bring them, they line them, they put the open ballots in there, and then they take them in and say, here. And the people mark. How's that working? They have perfected this system. This is what they do. They will tell you, we are applying for your ballot. They take a picture of your social security and your driver's license. They have a database. When the ballot comes, they track it. Sometimes they make fake emails. They track the ballot. Then they come and pick up the ballot.
Wow. So they
actually opened.
Wow.
So there's a vested interest, but we are victims of the system. They don't give a shit about any Somali issues. Sorry to use my language.
No, you're right.
And right. The DFL wants to win this state at all costs. It's a mutually beneficial, and the victims is the Somali.
We have to understand that the immigrants mostly here now are first generation immigrants. They are still, most of them are still emotionally connected to where they came from, and because of their background, not knowing how elections work, they came from a military government. That's the only system that they know, and when they get here, because of their ignorance, not knowing how these all things work, sometimes they even think it's legal.
Now, our sources say that Ilhan Omar is actually exploiting members of her own Somali community in Ward 6, which is the epicenter of where these alleged voter fraud activities take place.
It's not right that there's, you know, corruption. It's pretty much an alliance between Klan and the progressive left in the city of Minneapolis. Because you have a specific family, which Abdi Wassameh, Mahmoud Noor, Ilhan, Jamal Usman just got re-elected, or should I say elected for City Ward 6. All are in the same cousin of family. Like, it's clan-oriented.
Liban Muhammad's video shows him violating Minnesota election laws, which prohibit someone from collecting more than three ballots.
It's also a violation of federal law. For anyone who votes for others illegally, this is the law. 52 U.S.C. 10307, punishable by up to 5 years in prison and a $10,000 fine.
You're listening to The Jerry Van Show. And remember this, there's always more to the story. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Radio Hope Show Hour. I'm Jerry Mann. I'm glad you joined us today. We have seen we talk about where politics and policy meet, where applied common sense makes a difference. Let's get started.
CSBCCommunications.com, your common sense broadcast network.
There was video. You can see the video. There was a video out and about that he has the ballots in his car.
Right.
And talking about the only way you can win is with money. So he's basically saying that.
Admitting that.
Admitting that. So.
I saw that video.
Yeah.
He took it down.
But you captured it.
You saw the video?
I saw the video. And he took it down, but I captured it.
Get out of here.
What?
Did you really see the video?
I captured the video. Captured that video. It's a beautiful video.
I told you. Things like that, though. That's what's going on.
He said, I have $300, and he had them in his hand. Got it right here.
Like cash. So the question, have you ever asked yourself, how did he get them?
Yeah, how did he get them?
You just don't go. And, like, I was looking at them, and they were not filled. They were blank.
Right. They were. Some were open.
Yeah. In the envelope still.
It's an open secret. It's not something that, you know, she will do anything that she can to get elected. And she has hundreds of people on the streets doing that.
Our sources say that Ilhan Omar's voter fraud machine appears to be much more than just a few foot soldiers like Liban Mohammed's ballot harvesting. This appears to be an effort that is very systemic and very coordinated.
Hundreds of people have come that do not live here. And then they're saying that it's only 30 days they have to live here. These people are collecting benefits elsewhere, housing elsewhere, living in other places, and the DFL knows everything. They just want the numbers. Truck drivers are coming, getting temporary addresses. There needs to be a database of where are these people coming from. They don't live in Minnesota. We don't have hundreds of Somalis lining up every day for balloting.
No.
Where are they coming from? And as soon as this election is done, the people will go back to their normal lives.
It doesn't matter. It's over.
It's over. They're accepting temporary addresses. They're accepting all kind of shenanigans. People are showing an ID. I moved 30 days ago. My ID is not come back. Okay, just give us the last four of your social and tell us the address. And then somebody else will say, yeah, the same people who are helping them vote are saying, yeah, I can vouch for this.
That's
address.
That's it, the vouch thing. I saw that. They're vouching now.
Or they can have someone vouch for them that lives in the same ward and precinct.
That's what I'm talking about. The person vouching for them. Now, where do I find out who vouched for these people, these eight people that live in one house?
You know that those people were vouched for.
There's no way eight people live in that one house. That's a little tiny house.
It's not only her. It's all this, you know, DFL machine. No, this is a DFL machine that's, you know, in full operation in the state of Minnesota. And if you don't do it the way that you need to do it, then you just better get the hell out of the state.
Now, you may ask yourself, how is voter fraud of this scale, of this magnitude, how does this voter fraud go unchecked?
So, there you go. So that's the type of beautiful thing that's going on. And I find that interesting. And the Republican Party is just sleeping on that.
Why did they do anything about that video?
They can't, because that video, here's what's going on with the video, right? The video basically doesn't, how do you say this? Does he say at any time in the video that he aligns himself with Jamal Aswan?
Yeah.
He does?
Yeah, obviously.
I don't know.
It's gone now.
So, if that video at any given time does say he does align with Jamal Osman, then the state can do something about that.
It's not right that there's, you know, corruption. It's pretty much an alliance between Klan and the progressive left in the city of Minneapolis.
Well, I'm afraid if it's already too big to stop.
You're listening to The Jerry Van Show. And remember this, there's always more to the story. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Radio Hope Show Hour. I'm Jerry Mann. I'm glad you joined us today. We talk about where politics and policy meet, where applied common sense makes a difference. Let's get started.
CSBCCommunications.com, your common sense broadcast network.
You know, maybe it's too late. Maybe it's already too big to stop. There's a lot of people invested in this, you know, and they don't care how they did it. We win, and that's it. If American people don't pay attention to what's happening, it is going to soon, the country will collapse. The rules and regulations, if you ignore that and you let corruption and fraud become a daily business, and then tough luck, the country will not exist as they know it.
Now the only question is, what does Congressman Ilhan Omar have to say for herself? That her deputy, Ali Issa, is apparently a central figure in all this fraud. So the question is, what does the Attorney General of Minnesota have to say about this? What is the county attorney here in Minneapolis, what is he going to do about this? And finally, what does the Attorney General of the United States, William Barr, intend to do about this massive criminal voter fraud caught irrefutably on videotape? Oh, and we're not done. Stay tuned for part two.
And it's sure that you will not hear much on mainstream media, certainly CNN, about this. And of course, Ilhan Omar's campaign is going to blame it on someone else. But where does the money come from? Follow the money. There's always more to the story. I'm Jerry Vann. You're listening to Where Policy Meets Politics. You're listening to The Jerry Vann Show. And remember this, there's always more to the story. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Radio Book Show Hour. I'm Jerry Vann. I'm glad you joined us today. We have seen we talk about where politics and policy meet, where applied common sense makes a difference. Let's get started.
CSBCCommunications.com, your common sense broadcast network. And now we want to welcome station WPFL, WPFLradio.com, live and streaming. CSBCCommunications.com, your common sense broadcast network.
And now a commentary by James Napier. Did you know?
Hello, this is James Napier with Did You Know? And this is my migraine report. Senator Lindsey Graham, Republican of South Carolina, who leads the Senate Judiciary Committee, is also tasked with the vetting of judicial nominees, said 4 days of confirmation hearings will begin October 12th, and that the committee should clear Amy Coney Barrett nomination by October 26th. That would leave the full Republican-led Senate with roughly a week to confirm Barrett in the final days before the presidential campaign election. The committee released its plan just hours after President Donald Trump nominated the appeals judge to the High Court, underscoring the Senate Republicans' aim to quickly install another conservative justice on the bench before November 3rd. The Democrats, they've been trying to delay the vote in hopes that Democrat Joe Biden defeats Donald Trump, or they can retake control of the Senate so they can install a far-left Supreme Court justice. The Democrats can use some procedural methods to attempt slowing down the process, but the Democrats are unable to halt the process without Republican support. And hopefully, the Democrats won't turn around and make a debacle the same way they did with Brett Kavanaugh. Amy Coney Barrett is scheduled to meet one-on-one with members of the Senate. The meetings typically are Supreme Court vetting, which will allow senators to both question Barrett on her opinions and issues and give them a chance to get to know her a little better. Senator Graham, speaking on Fox News, said after the week of hearings, her nomination will be held in the committee for 1 week, consistent with the committee's procedures, before passing the nomination to the full Senate. Hopefully, we'll come to the Senate floor around the 26th, and that will be up to Mitch McConnell, he said of the Senate Majority Leader, a Kentucky Republican. Such a scenario would place the vote in the middle of the final week of the campaign, during which both Biden and Trump will be trying to woo undecided voters and energize their bases in one last push for the win to the White House. Barrett's nomination comes amid mounting pressure from the Democrats to press pause on filling the vacancy. A number of swing state Republicans signal their support in moving forward, likely killing any chances Democrats had of preventing another conservative from being sworn into the High Court. If Barrett is confirmed by the full Senate, the court would have a strong conservative majority, possibly for decades to come. Graham said in a letter to the Democrats earlier, "It's important that we proceed expeditiously to process any nomination made by President Trump to fill the vacancy. I'm certain if the shoe were on the other foot, you would do the same." Democrats have criticized the GOP for not only rushing through the process, but doing so just days before the election. The Republicans' response have repeatedly pointed to past nominations that passed on shorter time frames. And Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell also noted Justice John Paul Stevens was approved by the Senate 19 days after the White House formally sent his nomination in 1975, and Justice Sandra Day O'Connor's nomination took only 33 days to be approved by the body in 1981. The Senate has more than sufficient time to process a nomination, and history's precedent make that perfectly clear, he said. The average length of a Supreme Court nomination since 1975 has been 70 days from the submission of the nomination to a final Senate vote. Democratic presidential nominee Joe Biden called on the U.S. Senate to hold off voting on President Trump's Supreme Court nominee Amy Coney Barrett after Trump predicted that Barrett could be confirmed well before November's election. Biden claims that the right thing to do would be to wait to fill the vacant seat on the court until after January's inauguration. The Senate has to stand strong for our democracy, and its senators should take a step back from the brink, and that this is a time to de-escalate. Biden's criticism focused in large part on concerns that Barrett would vote to eliminate the Affordable Care Act, as the Supreme Court is readying to hear arguments in a case involving law known as Obamacare soon after November's election. Senator Cory Booker, a Democrat from New Jersey, a member of the Senate Judiciary Committee, told NBC's Meet the Press he sees the Republicans scheduling a vote for Barrett as the height of hypocrisy. In 2016, Senate Leader Mitch McConnell, a Republican from Kentucky, successfully blocked then-President Barack Obama's nominee for the Supreme Court, Merrick Garland, 8 months before the election. "Which precedent do you really believe in?" said Booker. "Because you can't say one thing and then do another. Barack Obama was putting up a nominee 269 days before an election, and now we see Donald Trump doing it while people are voting in the midst of an election." Senate Judiciary Committee member John Kennedy, a Republican from Louisiana, also defended the decision to proceed with Barrett's nomination, telling Fox News that the Constitution's provisions on Supreme Court vacancies are unaffected by the electoral calendar. "When the Democrats are in charge of the process, they do what they think is right, consistent with the Constitution." Kennedy also said, "When Republicans are in charge of the process, they do what they think is right." He also added, "We have a Republican president, we have a Republican Senate. If the shoe were on the other foot, I can assure you, Senate Majority Leader Chuck Schumer would do what the Republicans are doing right now." House Speaker Nancy Pelosi, a Democrat from California, told CNN's State of the Union that she's concerned about a case scheduled to be heard before the Supreme Court a week after November 3rd election. "Anyone that President Trump would have appointed was there to undo the Affordable Care Act," Pelosi said. "This is why he was in such a hurry, and so he could have someone in place for the oral arguments, which begin November 10th. Barrett has previously criticized Chief Justice John Roberts for his reasoning in upholding the Affordable Care Act. If confirmed, Barrett's vote on the upcoming challenge, Affordable Care Act, could be pivotal. Some Democrats have already said they will refuse to meet with Barrett, the way many Republicans snubbed Obama's 2016 pick, Merrick Garland. But the party still plans to abide by some norms. Democrats on the Senate Judiciary Committee have decided to attend the confirmation hearings despite calls from the left for them to boycott it. McConnell has told his members that they should be prepared for such tactics from Democrats, which could complicate campaign schedules, and for vulnerable GOP incumbents. Schumer said on the Senate floor, "Because the Senate Republicans have no respect for the institution, we won't have business as usual here in the Senate." One of the things that the Democrats can do to hold up the process is to object to recess. When the Senate concludes its business for the day, it requires the consent of all 100 senators. Any one lawmaker can object to recessing. Democrats could force the chamber to remain in session even when Republicans want to close up shop for the day or for a couple of weeks in October to allow vulnerable incumbents to head home and campaign for re-election. Still, even if the Senate doesn't formally recess, individual senators could still leave Washington. Another thing they can do is deny a quorum. In order to conduct business, the Senate requires a quorum, or a majority of senators to be present. Any one senator can move to require a quorum call. If just a few Republicans are absent for any reason, Democrats could boycott the quorum call, effectively preventing the Senate from doing business. They could also get the House on board. There's a number of actions the Democrat-controlled House could take in order to force the Senate to take up unrelated business. One of those is the War Powers Resolution, which, if passed by the House, can be put to the Senate floor even by Democrats who are in the minority. Some Democrats floated the unlikely idea of impeaching the President or Attorney General William Barr, which would force the Senate to take up a trial. But the idea quickly fizzled, and the Republicans could simply vote to dismiss the trial altogether. So let's see how many arrows Pelosi pulls out of her quiver to railroad the President's right to pick a Supreme Court justice. And this is James Napier with Did You Know? And Now You Know.
CSBCCommunications.com, your common sense broadcast network.
Now let's see what James Jensen from Just Right Broadcast has to say.
Hi, Van. James Jensen here with Just Right Broadcasting Group over on Facebook. Please come over and join us, if you will. We have a real good time over there discussing left-wing matters, and we look forward to seeing some of you come over and join us. Man, I don't know if you've ever seen this or not. I'm sure you have, and many of your listeners will have seen someone drop a glass, and as the glass hits, it shatters into just an uncountable number of little shards and pieces all over the place. And that's exactly what it feels like when you open a browser to look at the news today. The country's news is just scattered all over the place with things going on. And if bad weren't bad enough, we can look to maybe a little bit worse coming because of some news from France that they are now on guard against Muslim terrorists in their country, which put us under alert here in the United States. You know, it's bad enough what we have going on with Black Lives Matter and Antifa and the ongoing war, the clash war that exists here in the United States. But now we have to add in a little bit more to it. And this makes it much more difficult for us indeed, because again, we don't know what these people look like. We can't identify them. Nobody's wearing uniforms to make it easy to say, oh, there's a German, or there's a Japanese, or there's an Italian. Shoot that person. We don't know that. We can't tell that. And that's what makes the war on terror just that much worse. And the clash war, as it is in the United States, is the same thing. We don't know who the enemy really is. So we're having to fight battle after battle without knowing really who we're supposed to be going after. And this is going on right now down in Louisville, Kentucky, where last night they had to arrest or take two dozen more POWs in the war, the clash war in the United States. So it's becoming difficult at best for us to continue to figure out who we're supposed to fight and whose side is on whom's. But again, you know, we're going to have to do this. We don't have any choice in the matter. We just have to, you know, face the enemy as they come through and fight this war as it continues, and in hopes that we can get Donald Trump reelected. And this is another thing that we have a problem with, is continued news, you know, and information from the media that is very confusing. They're trying to muddy the water, and I believe that we're going to have to see what happens with, you know, the people as we move forward. Many times the silent majority remains so right up until the election. And this, unfortunately, is, I believe, the way it's going to happen again. Which may be good, too, because if the left feels they have it won, maybe some of them will stay at home and won't come out to vote. You know, so that's the hopes that we have on that level. But also, a positive thing happened just recently with regard to the left and the youth on the left. They are not Biden fans, and they make no bones about it. They are very clear in stating that they don't like Joe Biden and what he stands for, and they also don't trust him. And that's a big thing with the President of the United States, is being able to trust him. You know, and recently, you know, the left has tried to use that against Donald Trump when he said, we'll see, with regard to, you know, the change of power if he were not reelected. And I can't blame the man for saying, we'll see. Because, again, we don't know that those election results are going to be right or wrong. We can't tell right now until we have those verified. And it's going to take some time to verify them. So, you know, November 3rd, I don't believe is really going to be the end of it all. And we're going to reelect Trump, and that's going to be it. I believe either side, no matter who wins, is going to sit there and drag its feet to try and get votes recounted and question the election. But if we can get our people out to vote, this will be the most important thing for us. So go out there, get out, vote red, and make sure that we capture this election without any question. I look forward to seeing you next week, man. Thank you all. God bless all of your listeners. God bless you. God bless Donald Trump and the United States. I'll talk to you soon. This has been James Jensen over at Just Right Broadcasting. Thank you.
You're listening to The Jerry Van Show. And remember this, there's always more to this story. We'll be right back.
CSBCCommunications.com, your common sense broadcast network.
Welcome to Radio Bookshelf Hour. I'm Jerry Van. I'm glad you joined us today. We have seen you talk about where politics and policy meet, where applied common sense makes a difference.
They are feeding you the bowel movement and trying to convince you that it's filet mignon. Wake up!
Investigative journalism that pulls back the layers so that you can find the truth.
Let's get started.
And now the pain report. It pains me to tell you this.
The anti-American schools are winning. Growing number of Americans are embracing the thought and concept and implementation of socialism. Our anti-American schools are turning the tide against the country, folks. A new poll finds a shocking number of Americans are warming up to socialism and now think the inhuman, failed system might be a good idea. According to the new poll, 4 in 10 Americans now think socialism isn't such a bad idea. The new Gallup poll released on Monday found that 43% of Americans want to give socialism a try. That's 43% of all Americans. When you break that down demographics into age groups, it's amazing. The under 30 and under, 76% think it's a good idea. That's scary. The Gallup asked a random sample of Americans ages 18 and older whether some form of socialism would be a good or bad thing for the country. 51% of the adults surveyed said socialism would be bad for the country, while 43% said it would be good. The over 60 crowd, for the majority, said it would be a bad idea. That was 73% also of that age demographic. The results show an increase of 15 points in the number of respondents who said socialism would be a good thing compared to a 1942 Roper Fortune survey in which just 25% of the respondents said socialism would be a good thing, and 40% said it would be a bad thing. Results contrast with the Monmouth University poll from earlier this month, which found that 57% of the voters believe that socialism is incompatible with American values. The schools are indoctrinating socialism. The media are indoctrinating socialism. One thing that we are losing on, and I looked at the Democrats and said they have a good strategy. Now, I'm just talking about strategy. I don't agree with their content, for sure. But when you look at 21, 22, 23 candidates running for office. That means that's 23 times more media coverage, and every day, you 2, 3, 4, 5, or all 20 of them are getting FaceTime. And that makes an impact on our young people, because they're only hearing one candidate, and that's Trump. And they hear that as very, very negative. And all of the other 21, 2, 3 candidates all appear constantly. Think about that. What that survey proves is the left has utterly devastated our systems, our educational system, and turned it into an anti-American system of indoctrination. We are graduating millions of uneducated sheeple every year, and they are in the process of toppling our country, no matter what people my age group think. It's scary. I see the writing on the wall. These young people have no idea about what socialism really is. Look who's in charge of our educational system, the 60s hippies. We've sat back and allowed things to happen thinking education would be the same as when our children were in school. Now our grandchildren and Americans' children are being taught socialism is the way to go, which we know is the road to destruction. We have to become involved in our school systems. Parents, grandparents, aunts, uncles, concerned citizens with no children, please show up at the board meetings and become aware of what's being taught in your school. Just take a look at some textbooks, and it will scare the heck out of you. This was one of the reasons the Founding Fathers only wanted people to vote that owned property. There's some merit to that.
You're listening to The Jerry Van Show. And remember this, there's always more to this story. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Radio Bookshelf Hour. I'm Jerry Van. I'm glad you joined us today. We have something we talk about where politics and policy meet, where applied common sense makes a difference. Let's get started.
CSBCCommunications.com, your common sense broadcast network.
Help me with a little bit of this logic here. Somalia is considered the most corrupt country in the world and hasn't had a working, functional government in 60 years, and Kenya is building a wall on its border to separate itself from Somalia's pirates, traffickers, and extremists. Two things. Why is it okay for them to build a wall and we can't build one? But my real focus is, are we supposed to take advice from Ilhan Omar on foreign policy? Wait a minute. She's from Somalia. Why are we supposed to take advice from her on foreign policy? Why is she on that committee seat? Please, call your congressman now and get her off of that U.S. Foreign Policy Committee. Her statement, Ilhan Omar believes that the U.S. foreign policy needs the perspective of a non-American. Excuse me. What kind of bowel movement are you chewing on? Suddenly, after Obama was elected, the fake news media started to feed us negative articles on whiteness and white privilege. This is sort of an orchestrated race bait. And my good friend Kevin Jackson wrote a book called Race Baiting, and he's a black conservative. But this false narrative of whiteness and white privilege, we are immersed in an anti-white rhetoric that is 25 times the level of previous coverage. This is how they con the sheep. Tell a lie often enough, and it becomes the truth. I was at a church service, and a visiting pastor told the congregation to stop embracing their whiteness. It was all I could do to shut my mouth. When I expressed my disappointment to the church leadership for that obvious political statement, I was told that I misunderstood the intent and that color is a beautiful thing. I didn't misunderstand anything. It's all part of the communist narrative to vilify and create self-loathing in the white community. That same tactic, the Nazis used against the Jews in the Holocaust. Don't fall for it, people. It's okay to be white. Why should I not be as proud for them if they can't be proud black people, proud Asians, proud Somalians? Can I be a proud Christian? You bet I can. And I've got some tradition and heritage for many, many, many years that they don't have in this country. Let me share some facts with you from LexisNexis, the source. The number of news articles mentioning white privilege. Now, 1975 to 2010, there were an average of maybe 20 to 30 articles, mostly left-wing groups. Now, in 2010, it jumped up to 2,600 and has maintained from 2010 2,600 articles on the average each year mentioning white privilege, And it wasn't a gradual uptick. It was straight up. And you want to know why? Can you say Obama orchestrated this divisiveness? In addition, the number of news articles mentioning the words diversity and inclusion from 1990 to 2010 averaged about 10 articles. 2010, 2015 shot straight up 15,000 articles mentioning diversity and inclusion. Do you understand how propaganda works? Yes, I do have white privilege, and I know a lot of people that have white privilege. I know a lot of other people, regardless of their color, that have privilege. It's this kind of privilege I'm talking about. I was privileged to work my ass off for everything I had. I was privileged to live in a country where I can speak my mind without fear of government. I was privileged to follow God and His Word. I was privileged to raise my children to be good, upstanding citizens. But guess what? So is every other citizen in this country, regardless of their color. You too can be privileged.
You're listening to The Jerry Van Show. And remember this, there's always more to the story. We'll be right back.
Welcome to Radio Book Show Hour. I'm Jerry Van. I'm glad you joined us today. We have seen we talk about where politics and policy meet, where applied common sense makes a difference. Let's get started.
CSBCCommunications.com, your common sense broadcast network.
I did not choose to be a common man. It is my right to be an uncommon man. If I can seek opportunity, not security, I want to take the calculated risk to dream and build, to fail and or succeed and rebuild again, and I refuse to barter incentive for dole. I prefer the challenges of life to guaranteed security, the thrill of fulfillment to the state of a calm utopia. I will not trade freedom nor my dignity for a handout. I will never cower before any master save my God. It is my heritage to stand erect, proud and unafraid, to think and act for myself, enjoy the benefit of my creation, to face the whole world boldly and say, I am a free American. I hope you think about those words. I hope you can align with the thoughts of those words.
Welcome to Radio Book Show Hour. I'm Jerry Van. I'm glad you joined us today. We have seen we talk about where politics and policy meet, where applied common sense makes a difference. Let's get started.
CSBCCommunications.com, your common sense broadcast network.
90 Muslims have declared their candidacy for Congress while you sit on your butt and take too long to become engaged and take action. Now think of this. The Muslims only need 290 out of 435 Congress members to be able to take over and override a veto. So if they vote in Sharia law and the president vetoes it, they can simply vote to over. Now, those are the numbers. I'm not suggesting it will happen tomorrow, but I'm suggesting that they are onward Muslim soldiers while the onward Christian soldiers have turned up jello. Spare me the report of, well, I didn't know. This isn't about information. This is the age of the internet. Information about what's going on is everywhere. And if you sit in front of the TV and think that your favorite TV channel is the only source, then you're living in the Stone Ages, or you're just lazy or ignorant. That information is available just in absolutely everywhere, in front of your face. Don't you dare tell me, well, I didn't know that. I didn't know that the Muslims were serious when they said they were going to take over our country. I didn't know that their religion was really to control America. I didn't know that. You have to be a rock not to know that.
They are feeding you the bowel movement and trying to convince you that it's filet mignon. Wake up!
Investigative journalism that pulls back the layers so that you can find the truth.
Welcome to Radio Book Show Hour. Hi, I'm Jerry Van. I'm glad you joined us today. We have seen we talk about where politics and policy meet, where applied common sense makes a difference. Let's get started.
It's time for Emma on Fire.
So fasten your seatbelt, sit up straight, and wipe that smile off your face, and pay attention. Emma is on fire. Are you connecting the dots here?
I'm Melissa Francis. A source tells Fox News there are no immediate plans to deploy additional officers to cities other than Portland. But at least six mayors have responded to the president's threat, sending a letter to Attorney General Bill Barr demanding an immediate removal of federal agents in Portland.
Some people in hell want ice water. I guess people in Portland don't.
Meanwhile, there is new video out of Chicago from Friday night. It shows people ambushing cops with rocks and frozen water bottles near a statue of Christopher Columbus. White House Press Secretary Kayleigh McEnany last hour saying the president has had enough.
People in America have had enough, too. And guess what? We support federal troops going in and bringing peace back to America with law and order. And these mayors who want to get political gain for the Democrat Party are in a pecking order, pecking at each other, trying to see who's going to be on top, who's going to create the most political gain so they can be next in line to run for president or whatever powerful position they think they can get in line for. Well, you know what? That kind of thinking is going to hurt them in the end. Anybody who would use people and the hurt that all this disobedience to law and order brings should be voted out of office permanently and never be allowed into another political position ever. Don't forget these people who won't defend law and order and who won't protect your cities. Wake up, America. We need you now to wake up and understand that these are political hacks, political gain hacks, who just want to gain political positioning advantages. Remember, those who are trusted in small things, if they have not been trustworthy, they should never have access to larger things and larger responsibilities. Be warned and forewarned about your political leaders who don't protect in the small things, like a day-to-day decision to go after law-abiding citizens, like that circuit attorney in St. Louis, who can't even figure out that the law is primary over what she may personally want. She's not sacrificing her personal wants for what the law says. She's not worthy to go any further in any political position. Even though she's trying to act like Sullivan, who's disobeying the law and trying to promote himself, to promote to get political gain, to promote Democrat Party politics over the law. Yeah, you know, the judge that won't dismiss the case against General Flynn because he has no legs to stand on and no precedence either and no power either. No power, no position, no precedence, and they want to do what? Create law? No flipping way. So they're doing the fingernail treatment, hanging on by their fingernails just to keep it in the news, and they think that's going to get them somewhere? Voters, beware. Don't let them get anywhere with it. Hey, America, how's your politics today? How do you like your communism today? And just exactly what is it gonna take before you get off the couch and go get engaged and try to stop this nonsense? When are you gonna stand up and have a voice? Wake up, America! Wake up, America! Wake up! In America, you, Joe Citizen, you are the one who is the government. No, it's not all these people that you vote for, it's you! It's you. You have to take it personal because you vote. That was God's genius. God allowed America to be established so that you would have a voice. And if you don't want to have a voice, then why don't you move to a communist country? Geez, just look back on the 8 years under Obama, and you'll get close to what a socialist country is like. But guess what? One more step down that road, one more step into hell is communism. And what did somebody say progressivism is? Oh yeah, they said progressivism is communism's bastard child. This rests on every citizen in this country because you have a voice and you have the freedom to speak. And if you refuse to speak, you deserve exactly what you get. So if you're whining and complaining about what's going on in America, get off your ass and go do something. Like, say something. Have a voice. Get in places where you can have a say and make it happen today. Because at the rate things are going, you're going to end up with no voice at all. And gosh, wouldn't that be bad? We're looking at good and bad this week. This theme of good and bad.
He's very upset with what he's seen. He's wrote a letter to the mayor about this. You have children who have been shot, people who have died, roughly a dozen people every single weekend. More people die in the city than in Iraq and Afghanistan. I mean, this is incredible. This is on a street in America run by a derelict Democrat mayor who is doing nothing to stop this. So the president's very upset with this. I spoke to him about this morning, but I'll leave it to him as to when that decision is made and what it looks like.
We started off talking about good this week, so I'm going to continue with that theme, that God is good. And the website davidjeremiah.org said this: God is good, but what does that mean? That God is good? He says, the more I studied this word in the Bible, the more one central concept seemed to jump out. God's goodness conveys his generosity. His goodness means far more than his generosity, but it certainly includes his infinitely generous attitude towards us. By nature, he longs to bring joy and blessing to all his creatures. The Bible repeatedly presents goodness as a core quality of our Lord, and I wanted to share just 23 of those occasions. And he goes on to talk about 23 verses that point you to the goodness of God and what it means for our lives. Psalms 145:9 says this: The Lord is good to all, and his tender mercies are over all his works. Well, that almost sounds like the beginning of a sermon. But I'm not here to preach to you. I'm here to contrast and to talk about America and the good of America, like we did the other day, and to point out the contrast between America's good and what's happening right now. America is good. It's good down to its roots and straight into the ground. It's what holds America together. It is the binding woven threads that holds America together. Whenever you weave something, the threads get connected and you can embroider on top of that. But the basic fabric of America is its goodness. And right now we have people trying to cut that fabric, to cut those threads, and to tear America apart. Psalms 31:19-20 says, How great is your goodness, which you have laid up for those who fear you, which you have prepared for those who trust in you. In the presence of the sons of men, you shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of man. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues. God's roots show his goodness, which is beyond our imagination, our even ability to verbalize how good he is. And I am certainly not adequate to expouse upon all the goodness of God. All I can do is bring it to your attention so that you can study it and learn of the goodness of God and how that manifested into this nation known as the United States of America. And if you are out to tear down America, then you have taken on God. You have taken on our Lord. And I think you're naive to think that you are adequate to take on God. For all intensive practical purposes, you think you're taking on America. You think you're taking on the people and the men and women and families that live in America. Oh, gosh! You have no idea what you've taken on if you're out to tear down America. Yes, America is full of men and women who are in charge and who direct policies and procedures and politics in America. But the very root of America, the reason America exists, is because of our Lord Jesus Christ and his Father, who allowed America to exist, who provided a way and a place and a time that America was established in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father. Christians who know our Lord, mature Christians, know the power of God. Sometimes they forget how powerful he is because we live day to day resting in his love and his grace and his mercy. and we're not often called upon to fight for our very lives. But it seems that there are people who want to call upon us to do that these days, or they threaten they'll kill us. Well, God says in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not kill. Okay, well, what are you going to do about people who are rioting and going out of their flipping minds because they just don't want to obey God, and they don't want to obey the law, and they don't want to obey in America? They just don't want God and anything that has to do with God. Well, it would be nice if they would just pack up and move away, but that ain't gonna happen. It seems they want all of God's goodness, but they don't want God or us to be around. They think they can have all the goodness without God, and especially without anybody to remind them about God. That's a good one. How can you have God's goodness if you don't have God? Good question. Somebody answer that one for me. Because in the world where there is no God, you have hell. You have hell on earth. For everybody who wants a place on earth, or thinks they have a place on earth, where there is no God or God's goodness, let's talk about those places. I don't know of any. Do you? Do you know of a place where God's goodness does not exist, and it's a good place to live? I don't think anybody's talking about that, because I don't think there is such a place. Or there wouldn't be songs like that one song that Neil Diamond did. They're coming to America. Yeah, that song, you know, where he talks about people coming to America to get away from whatever evil exists where they're at. He's not talking about the evil. He's talking about the promise and the hope that America brings to the world. And the fact that they're coming to America. They're not going other places. They're coming to America. Right here, right now. And have been for over 240 years. Wouldn't you want to come to America to get away from the hell on earth that has no God in it? How far would you go if you had no home and you needed a home and you could choose for yourself? And hope is your only way to see your way clear. And God placed a desire to be free in your heart. And wouldn't you want to be free? So you hang on to your family, and God grows a dream in your heart, and it keeps you going. And what kind of dreams do you have? And some of these people want to give us a new anthem. No, the old anthem reminds us of our roots, and we need to be reminded right now, especially right now, when people want to destroy our roots. No, we keep that anthem. But if you want to add a song to what America is in today's world and add an addendum on that song, then segue into this song that we've just talked about. They're coming to America, and they're still coming because there's still evil and bad in the world, and there are still places in the world that resemble hell. No, hell on earth is still around, and it gets propagated where there is no God and where there is no goodness of God. And I challenge anybody out there, anybody who thinks they know better and they have a better place to live where all people have opportunity and freedom and they can make choices for their life, to show me that place, because I don't think it exists where all people are treated fairly or have the opportunity to be treated fairly. And guess what? That's what we're fighting for every day of our lives. And that's what America continues to fight for. And if you come to America, be ready for the fight, because you better have the fight in you, because you're going to have to fight every day of your life to keep America, America, and not something perverted by somebody else who thinks they can take God out of everything and still have the goodness of America. You see it every day. You have these political leaders in various places in the country now who have no belief in God. And the decisions they make hurt people, just like what's going on out in Oregon and Washington State, where they are putting criminals above common citizens and protecting criminals over citizens because they think they're doing something courageous to protect people against themselves. Well, those people don't want to be protected against themselves. They want to hurt you. And guess what? The mayor in Seattle realized that the day they came for her and her home. Uh-huh. Evil comes for your home and then you want to stand up and fight, but you do nothing when you see it coming. You act like a man who is a good man, but he is a good man. Is she a good man who does nothing and evil progresses? Just exactly who are you going to follow? Who? Who are you going to follow? Are you going to follow idiot leaders who do nothing to stop evil? Or are you going to follow someone who pushes back on it and brings peace? Seems like a no-brainer to me. But those who destroy peace and protect criminals over peaceful, loving people who are trying to protect their homes and then being attacked by leaders who have their heads up their asses who want to attack those who would defend their home. No flippin' way. You know, criminals are people too, and God loves them just as much as he loves you and me. He made them. But when they have their heads in the wrong place and their thinking is wrong, then they need to be shut down and they need to be educated and told about God. They don't want to hear it. Of course they don't. They're in total rebellion against God, against the law, and against you and me who want peace, because they want what they want when they want it. They're like three-year-olds who have to be controlled and disciplined. They may not be three-year-olds, but there are adult children running around in this world, and they don't have the right to take over your life, and they don't have the right to take the common peace away from people. They don't have the right to rule anybody but themselves. And so are you going to let them run over other people and law and order just so they can be protected against themselves because they're adult children? I don't think so. And if someone who was voted into a position said they would support the law and then they go against the law and they try to charge people who legally defend their home from anarchists, I don't think so. Seems to me somebody needs to be thrown out of office. Toot sweet. So in Missouri, the Attorney General has filed a lawsuit to put down the charges that this circuit attorney thinks that she has the power to bring. All she did was bring disgust on herself and criticism by not obeying the law. These people who support evil may have a moment in time where they get attention because they're supporting that evil, but if they don't know the difference between good and evil, then they need to be shut down permanently in America. Remember, folks, America is a free country. You may have your say one day, but then on another day, you may not have your say because America is not ruled. America is not ruled by evil. America is good, and those who are not good eventually discover that they are wrong. And if they don't like it and they try to have a fit about it, well, okay, a lot of people are having fits in America today. And guess what? Our system of government allows them to say and do what they're going to do. As to quote a cliche by the Speaker of the House, but America also is good. And if you don't like the good in America, there's a whole great big world out there. I'm sure you can find some other place in the world to live where they'll let you come and do and be whatever you want to be or not. But as long as you don't break the law, you're free in America. And you're free to leave, too. Even bad people love God's goodness in America because they don't want to leave it to go live somewhere else. Because they love God's goodness. Tell them that one and that'll just cause their brains to explode. Because God loves them so much. so much that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. And that's the message of America, whether these evil people like it or not. America is good, and they want God's goodness, even though they won't admit it. Or they would leave America. They're not leaving America because they know they've got it good. And they don't want to give up God's goodness in America. I'd say they have a conundrum going on, wouldn't you? Because if they wanted to hate America and hate God so much that they would want to change it, then they won't have the goodness of America if they did. If they were successful, the goodness of America would be gone. Huh, what a conundrum. Uh-huh. But they don't want to admit that that's what's going on. They will never admit that they love God's goodness. So they continue to try to split hairs to split God off from America. What was it Jesus said on the cross on the day that he was crucified? Forgive them, Father. They know not what they do. They think they know, but they don't know the full ripple effect of their actions and their decisions. They just play politics with God and with policies. So where does that end up? Where does playing politics with God end up? Yeah. If you're a Christian, you know. You know how it ends up, and you know God wins in the end. But you know what? God allows things to happen, like all of this stuff that's going on right now. All these people who think they're out there pushing their own way. Well, they are in a way, but God allows them to do it. Because you need to get off the doggone couch and get engaged. And guess what? The very fact that you're not getting engaged and you're not supporting the kingdom tells God something about you. What are you going to say to him when you stand before him on Judgment Day, which is immediately the day you die? The moment you die, absent from the body, present with the Lord. The moment you die, you get to explain yourself. And God's going to ask you a question. He's going to say, what did you do with what I gave you? What did you do to serve and preserve your nation? What did you do with the gift that I gave you? Did you preserve it, or did you let it get attacked and destroyed? You're going to have a come to see Jesus meeting, to coin a cliche that I heard many times growing up. And that meeting is going to be on the day you die. And you get to explain to God what you did or didn't do in this life. Uh-huh. It doesn't matter what people think about you. The only thing that matters is what God thinks about you and what he says to you. Are you listening to God, or are you listening to stupid people on earth who, quote-unquote, don't know their ass from a hole in the ground? Uh-huh. I'm not mincing words, because it's time now to not mince words. It's time to make it straight, make it plain, and make it clear that you have a time coming up sooner than you know. Might be in the next 10 minutes, or it might be 30 years from now. But this life is the time that God gave you to decide to follow him or not. Got to make a choice. You're going to be on the side of good or evil. And what are you going to do about it? Are you going to stand up and say something against evil? Or are you going to stand there and say something about good and support good? Uh-huh. They're coming to America. They're coming to America. Today, America translates kingdom of heaven. The very word says you're coming to the kingdom of heaven, the place where people support the goodness of God, just because you're here. And you don't want to leave America once you come here, because you love the goodness, whether you don't like God's authority or not. They're coming to America.
And what's in the report with human rights activist Ayaan Hirsi Ali? Great to have you with us tonight. Okay, I want to read you a little bit more of what the human rights campaign had to say. It says, as was clear from the start, Secretary Pompeo's Commission on Unalienable Rights was designed to challenge the international consensus with a narrow view of human rights.
What exactly is that human rights mean, and what the role of the United States of America is in that effort. If I were to summarize it, I would use two words. One is pride. Pride in what the United States of America has achieved. And then the second word I would use is humility.
Yeah, I know that you feel like the U.S. has given you a chance to escape some very difficult conditions and to have freedom here, and that you're a personal beneficiary of that. There's been a lot of attention this week about somebody else here in the U.S. who has as well, which is Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. Here's what she said on July 7th.
So we cannot stop at criminal justice system. We must begin the work of dismantling the whole system of oppression wherever we find it.
Okay, I got a problem with that. What system is she talking about? What system of oppression is Ilhan Omar talking about? Is she talking about the American government and the American Constitution, which she took an oath to support? There needs to be clarity in that comment that she made, because if she is, then she needs to be run out of Congress on a rail. You cannot take an oath to support a constitution and a nation and then turn around and stand up and tell the people to tear it down. The inconsistency with what she's speaking needs to be clarified, because if she's talking about tearing down the country, tearing down the nation, or anything that is part of the nation, then she has violated her oath of office, and I demand that she resign right now.
Now, she was talking about the criminal justice system, the political system. She also says that the characterization of what she said has been inaccurate. It's been false, that she ended up getting hate speech and threats of deportation, or calls for deportation and death threats. She wrote a piece in the Washington Post. She said this: such continued distortions are a sign of the president's weakness among voters. We know his team wouldn't be relying so heavily on racist distortions if it were confident in its policy's popularity. What do you make of this conversation about what she had to say?
Ilhan Omar has a tendency to speak out of her ass. Yeah, I said ass. You know, where those slightly used oats come out of? Because she doesn't clarify and she speaks in clouds of confusion, so that only her virtue-signaled base knows what she's talking about. Because if she's talking about tearing down the government and tearing down the Constitution, then she needs to be called out on it. It's not appropriate. She took an oath to support the Constitution and to defend it with her life. And by her comments, it comes across as if she's not worthy to be in the office that she holds. She can say anything she wants, I guess, and get away with it. It is a land of free speech. And people can vote with their feet, too. And I hear she's under investigation. Why is it taking so long to get the results of that investigation? Maybe she needs to be thrown out of Congress. Or better yet, incarcerated for breaking the law.
I think it reflects what's going on in the United States of America and outside of the United States of America. And again, this is why I'm really happy with this report, because it clears so much confusion. We know our history, and we're reminded of our history in this report. We are the one nation that broke loose from colonialism, that abolished slavery, that established the civil rights. We have a long way to go. Now, the question in 2020 that is, I would say, people like Ilhan Omar and others that we face is, we see the inequality we see today. What are we going to do about it? And are we going to do it within our history, our tradition, our heritage, and our system? Or are we going to destroy all of that and dismantle it and establish something new and different? I belong to the school of thought, along with those who wrote this report, and along with Secretary Pompeo, that we have the principles. We have the moral superiority. We just need to aspire and to live toward that. I'm against this whole rhetoric of dismantling things, and I think the United States of America has done a great deal of good.
She said,
I think the United States of America has done a great deal of good.
She said she believes America has done a great deal of good. Many people around the world believe America has done good. We talked about good in America yesterday and how it's been deflected and how it's being deflected by the Democrat Party in the eyes of Americans. But in the eyes of the world, that might be a different story.
You know, we're the most heterogeneous society in the world, meaning the most diverse. You have all sorts of ethnic groups, religions, non-religions, whatever. And we have our problems. I've said that before.
If this were not an election year, and if this were truly a grassroots revolution, then I might be more inclined to listen to what they have to say. But right now, the Democrat Party, which they are a part of and strive to be a part of, is representing a candidate that can't even hold a conversation real well and can't even be in a debate. So why is it that all of this rioting is taking place right now, other than to distract the public from talking about the candidate for the Democrat Party, the party that has no issues to stand on other than the fact that they've created hell on earth and hell in America, in the CHOP, in Seattle, in Portland, New York, and Chicago, where people are dying in the streets because of crime, because they want to take away the police. And they're trying to do so, like they're trying to do in Minneapolis.
But I will tell you, the one set of principles that gives us the opportunity to keep aspiring toward perfection is the framework that we have today that was established and founded in the Declaration and in the Constitution. No need to dismantle that.
She said, and founded in the Declaration and the Constitution, and there's no need to dismantle any of that. And this person's world perspective, in my opinion, outweighs what the Democrat Party is doing right now for political gain. And it highlights what the Democrat Party is right now, which is a power-hungry monster of evil proportions.
And founded in the Declaration and in the Constitution, no need to dismantle that.
She said, and founded in the Declaration and the Constitution, and there's no need to dismantle any of that.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that framework also gave us a way to make changes to our Constitution and in our society, should we find that it's necessary, and we have many times, and that work will continue. Ayaan Hirsi Ali, we know you have raised a spotlight on grievous situations around the globe. We thank you for spending some time with us tonight.
Thank you, Shannon. Thank you so much for having us, and let's continue to fight to preserve our principles, not dismantle them.
Ms. Ali is an expert of situations around the globe, and she believes that the American Constitution is spot on, and there's no need to change it. So let's get down to it. Who are the people who think they really need to change our Constitution and the framework of our nation, other than those who are enemies of our nation? Let's call it out for what it is. Those that want it changed are enemies. Change is one thing. But to totally dismantle it, as Ilhan Omar has said that she thinks ought to be done, is disingenuous and goes contrary to her oath of office. The Democrat Party didn't have any reasonable positions to vote on. So it appears to me that they're going to do one of two things. They're either going to push this envelope of a new world order and try to overthrow the government right now, or they're testing us to see just exactly how far they have to go, how far it's going to take for the public to respond so that the next time around they don't make any mistakes or errors, and they have it pulled off before people are even realizing what's happening to them. That's what an enemy does. Tests the water, so to speak. Puts her toe in to see how hot the water is and how they respond before they actually go and do something. That's what happened with 9/11. Yep, some years before, they tested blowing up a building just to see what it would be like, and then they actually did it. They flew those planes into those two world towers in New York. Wake up, America. Why do we have someone in Congress who wants to dismantle our country? No way. Get her out of there. Get her out of Congress now. Okay, I promised the other day that we would pick up where we left off with Ben Shapiro talking about his book and about the Democrat Party and what it is and what it isn't. We've just seen in talking about Ilhan Omar how far left and how far extreme the Democrat Party has gone. How bastardized they are to accept anyone with any attitude, even if it's harmful to America, and promote them. No, it's time people say no to the Democrat Party. And it's time that people stand up and say no to what's going on in Portland, Oregon, Seattle, Chicago, New York City, and all of these mayors who are positioning for political gain in the Democrat Party. Because you don't seem to progress in the Democrat Party very far. Well, not since Pelosi's been in there for 40 years. And people are stuck in this pattern of supporting the Democrat Party. So the Democrat Party is picking on each other for positioning and for positions of higher power. The power-hungry Democrats asserting themselves over each other is what we're witnessing. We're witnessing the party pick itself apart Because they want more power. Each of them are so power hungry. Oh, they're so power hungry, but there's no place to go in the party because they have Pelosi sitting up there on top, and she's not moving over for anybody, is she? Does she or doesn't she? Does she or doesn't she ever give up her position as Speaker of the House? And the answer is, she's not giving up anything, and if you want her to go away, you're going to have to vote her out of office. So wake up, America. We need you now. Ha 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 ha. Yeah, think about this one. Just think, if America had term limits, and Pelosi would have been limited to 2 terms, we wouldn't have this Democrat parasitic chokehold on the country right now. Would we? Nope, we wouldn't. And it could happen in either party or any party. Think about it. Rhinos ran the country. Republican rhinos. Republican in name only. They didn't have conservatives. They didn't have the common man in mind, or they wouldn't have made some of the decisions they made over the years to keep China on the hook and to keep bringing China out of their misery the way they did. To try and manipulate China when all they did was provide an avenue for people like Biden to make billions of dollars off of them. Rhinos, Republicans in name only, not conservatives. People who would, for political gain, give up America's sovereignty. Makes me sick to even think about it. The kind of party that put forth a candidate like Mitt Romney, who makes you wonder if a rock is smarter than he is. At least a rock keeps its mouth shut, if you can find it. Just remember who Romney is. He took money from George Soros, too. Now, this parasitic chokehold that took over the Democrat Party could have taken over the Republican Party just as well. And did for many years. I want the American Party. The party in America that stands up for American values and roots out every socialist and communist perspective in our government and expels it from our government, to throw away and purge out anything that is anti-American. And remember, Americanism is not being white. It is being good. As we talked about the other day, Alexis Tocqueville said, the reason that America was successful is because America is good. And if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. And if you get right down to it, there are a lot of Democrats that need to be freed from the Democrat Party. They need to be freed from the communists and the socialists they're having to put up with in a party that shoots them down and squelches their voice every day under the does she or doesn't she Speaker of the House, who doesn't know whether she is American or not. Is she or isn't she an American? Only her hairdresser knows for sure. There are many men and women who stand up and fight for this country. They fight for American values. Excuse me, don't they deserve an American party where they don't have to divide and split their values? I think so. Doesn't America and Americans want unity? Why not unity under an American party that speaks for America and not communism and socialism? Remember last week I was calling for the abolishment of the Democrat Party. Any party that embraces the values of our enemies and puts them over and above Americans is no longer an American-centered party, are they? I want America to be for Americans and people who come here to become Americans. Not socialists and not communists. Americans! The land of the free and the home of the brave. America for Americans, period. America is the land of choice. Giving ourselves a choice. You know, it's one thing when you're born into a family, you're kind of stuck with them as your family. But when you get old enough, you can make a choice to create a new family. And if you have come to America, you have chosen a new family. You are making a new family in America. Just like you make a new family when you get married. It's not a whole lot different from that. America's good does not depend upon race. That's why to be an American and Americanism does not mean being white. America and Americanism means being good. And there is a heck of a lot of good in being a black American. We wouldn't have an America if it were not for black Americans. But because of the sins of the first Americans, that were in government, we have the burden of calling them black Americans. I just want to call them Americans, period. Because that's what they are. They're Americans. Who cares what color they are? Who cares what color anybody is? All it really means is your ancestors, some of them lived closer to the equator than others did, and their bodies adjusted to the amount of sunlight and colored their skin based on that. Listen to what Ben Shapiro said in this discussion with Mark Levin.
If you read Frederick Douglass's incredibly edgy speech about July 4th in 1852, as a freed slave who suffered more than any of the black Americans who are currently living today, they haven't suffered as slaves. Frederick Douglass makes a speech and he says, listen, Independence Day is your Independence Day, but it's not our Independence Day, but it should be. These are universal principles. Extend the principles to us. When MLK says, we're here to make the claim on the promissory note, and he says the promissory note is the Declaration of Independence, and we are here to cash the check, so let us cash the check. That is an appeal to the heart of Americans. That is appeal to fundamental principle rooted in the Declaration. That's a successful appeal. All the progress that has been made in the United States on race is rooted in those fundamental principles, not on the basis of competing hierarchies of power and people clubbing each other about the ears.
But isn't that why progressivism is so evil? Because 100 years ago, these progressive intellectuals, Woodrow Wilson, John Dewey, and the others, specifically attacked the Declaration of Independence. They attacked it as very interesting, you know, very dated. Ignore the first part of the Declaration. Go to the points where they keep raising concerns with the king, and we're not bound by that anymore, and same with the Constitution and so forth and so on. And the Declaration of Independence represents what? Represents Western Enlightenment, represents Judeo-Christian principles, represents all that's good with mankind. And they do that, don't they, Ben Shapiro, because they want the world to begin today with their social engineering, with their social activism, and you have to cut that which binds us with the past.
No, you don't. That's equivalent to book burning. That's equivalent to the master manipulations that they do to manipulate you out of your freedom. Ligate 11.0. Master ligators. Don't be gullible. Don't let anyone manipulate you out of your freedom.
That's exactly right. You got to burn everything down before you can build anything anew. And frankly, they don't really care what's built in the wake. All they know is that all problems are attributable to the system. And, you know, it's funny. Historically speaking, there's precedent for this sort of attitude toward the Declaration of Independence. And it actually lies with people like John C. Calhoun, who was an ardent pro-slavery advocate, who argued that the Declaration of Independence meant nothing. The Declaration of Independence was highfalutin principle that really was meaningless and not part of American history. It was just an excuse for dominant power hierarchies to be reestablished. Ironically enough, it's precisely the woke left that is now mirroring exactly that sort of language about the Declaration of Independence. It's not any sort of coincidence that Calhoun was and would have been somebody in favor of the Civil War and the disintegration of the country. And the same people today attacking the Declaration, they're attacking the glue that binds us together, that disintegrating that glue. And when that happens, we are just going to fall apart.
Remember what Tocqueville said, that if America ever ceases to be good, America will cease to be great. I propose that if America ever stops being good, America will cease. That'll be the end of it. And right now, the Democrat Party has ceased to be good. They are embracing the evil that destroyed Germany and other countries, the evil that steals the good from a nation, the evil that seeks power for all that power can give it, the evil that seeks absolute power to corrupt absolutely, the power that has taken over American cities run by Democrats for decades, that have destroyed those cities, and now they want to make that destruction complete for the quest of power in the Democrat Party. Positional political gain, and they want to take over and make this a one-party country? I don't think so!
There's something about the Democrat Party, the party of the Confederacy and slavery, the party so long of segregation, the party whose certain prominent members gave birth to the Klan, the party that now stands for what I call, again, the American model of Marxism or statism or progressivism, but it never seems to stand for Americanism. So, Ben, my question about the Democrat Party. The Democrat Party, through its history, has been less pro-Americanism than anti-Americanism. Am I right about that?
I mean, historically speaking, that's certainly the case. And you can certainly see it probably most, not even in the Civil War period when the Democratic Party was pro the Confederacy, although that's pretty strong stuff, but in sort of its modern iteration, this obviously begins with the progressive movement, where you have leaders of the Democratic Party, like Woodrow Wilson, explicitly denouncing the Constitution of the United States and the Declaration of Independence and saying, you know, those were old definitions of liberty. Those were old definitions of rights. We need new definitions of rights and liberty. Now, things that come from the government, things that we can give to you.
That's their first lie. Your liberties don't come from the government. They come from God. This is a manipulation. And this is what they did under Woodrow Wilson. And this is how the Democrat Party attempts to talk you out of your freedom. It's bullpucky. Bow movement. Pure manipulation.
And anything that stands in the way of that, checks and balances, enumerated powers, all that has to go in pursuit of something more glorious and better.
Ligate! Again, there is nothing, nothing that is better than what was given to us by the Founding Fathers. And the lie of Woodrow Wilson and others who would try to talk you out of your freedoms is the biggest lie of all. And they're continuing it, and they're continuing the lie today, trying to talk America out of its freedom. No, don't buy it, people. Don't buy it. It's bullpucky, bowel movement, slightly used oats. Our enemies cannot defeat us on the battlefield. The best they can hope to do is to talk you out of your freedom. If they can make you unhappy, then they have an edge. Wake up, America. Get your heads out of your behinds and listen. And not only listen, but hear with your heart.
All you have to do is give me power, and we'll give you back something that you will absolutely love. We'll give you entitlements. And that's been the movement of the Democratic Party over the course of the last century or more.
Well, that's what they promised. But did they keep any of those promises? I don't think so. They gave them welfare, but where did the welfare get them? Look at the people living in the inner cities. They're still living in slums. And those who went into government became wealthy. And some to the point of millionaires. But did it improve the lives of black people? And that's been going on for the last 100 years. You would think in 100 years that a group of people would have made some progress. Unless it was designed for them not to, to keep them on the lam, to keep them hanging on and promising them everything and delivering them nothing.
Yeah, it's difficult, I think, to connect all aspects of the Democratic Party over time, obviously. But I think that the one thread that runs through at least the modern history of the Democratic Party is a desire for more power at the expense of a founding principle that says rights pre-exist government, that government was instituted to protect those rights, and that a government that violates those rights is not worthy of being upheld.
There is more to that discussion than just that. There's a lot of details that are responsible for the fact that things are the way they are right now. It's not just the ideas of what they're talking about. It's what the people did with the opportunities they were given and how they've manipulated it so that they are getting a take, a part of the take of government that have allowed certain people to be progressing and getting their share of money from the government and blaming the government for everything. No, no way. Democrats have been in office for a very long time, and they hold most of the major government offices. So what went wrong in these government-held offices in Democrat-run cities for decades? I tell you what went wrong. People backed off. People let them have it. People let them go do that job in the hopes that they would do it to benefit the black people in this country that were living in those cities. And all they did was take advantage of them. Again. And other people let them do it. They backed off. They kept silent and didn't lend their voice to government. You, American citizens, caused this to happen. Caused this to happen by keeping silent. The silent majority caused this to happen by being silent. You want it to happen to the whole country? Then keep being silent. Government belongs to the people. All the people. And that includes every conservative thinking person in this country, not just Democrats, not just anti-American, socialist, communist, mindsetted Democrats. Conservative-minded people are stepping up and they don't like it. Donald Trump has been in office 3.5 years, only 3.5 years, and they want to blame him for everything? I don't think so. Not in your wildest dreams, Democrats. As long as non-Democrats stay silent and remain the silent majority, then you've got it made, haven't you? You've got it made. Made in the shade, as long as they keep their mouths shut. And now that people are opening their mouths, you're beginning to get nervous. Well, you should be, because we're speaking out the truth, and we're over the national guilt. And you keep trying to put the national guilt trip on America. The national guilt trip of slavery and what happened during those years. And you want to forget about what's happened in the last 155 years that took away the slavery, that took away the excuse for making America feel guilty. No, a national guilt trip. That's all. all this is with Black Lives Matter, a political action committee that makes donations out of all their receipts back to the Democrat Party. Excuse me, I want to see their books audited. I want to know where their money is going. I want to see what black lives they've changed, if black lives matter to them. And what's it going to take to get an honest audit out of them? Are you going to have the full armored division of the army, the entire army, holding them at gunpoint to find out the truth of where that money's going? I don't believe that they care about black lives. If they did, those children in Chicago would be alive and not dead. You know, the ones that have died for the entire year. And those mayors of these Democrat cities. What about the black lives in all these cities? New York, Chicago, Atlanta, D.C., Seattle, Portland. What about the black lives in those cities, and especially the ones that died in the CHOP? And I'm particularly interested in that ratio on that 990 tax form that says how much money was spent on your mission compared to how much money was spent in overhead. Let's see those numbers. And let's see the receipts for everything you spent. Who's the IRS auditor that's gonna go in there? Unarmed. Oh, God!
Woodrow Wilson was a out-of-the-closet racist, wasn't he? This is well known.
Birth of a Nation in the White House.
He resegregated the federal government.
Woodrow Wilson resegregated the federal government. Huh? Democrat. So is Woodrow Wilson responsible for Democrat pain all through the 60s? And now? For the last 100 years? The Democrat pain that promised poor people everything and delivered nothing. Nothing but entitlements that took away family members and left many households fatherless. And if you notice, I'm not saying black households. I'm saying households, because I know some white households that don't have fathers either. And I'm thinking of one particular white household that has a different father for every child in the family. Both black and white fathers. So when are we going to stop labeling families black and white and just call them poor? When are we going to stop the rhetoric that causes racism?
And when you look at the Black Lives Matter movement, it is openly anti-Semitic and supports the BDS movement. That's at least been part of its mission statement, has it not?
Oh yeah, I mean, one of the great semantic tricks that's been played right now is the overloading of the term Black Lives Matter. So they say Black Lives Matter, and you say, okay. And then they say, also, we have this whole agenda. You say, well, I don't agree with any of that agenda. They say, well, so you're saying Black Lives don't matter? It's a pretty ridiculous linguistic trick.
Excuse me! That ridiculous trick seems to have worked on a lot of white people. They've been on their knees begging forgiveness and having guilt over it. Misplaced guilt. Manipulating white people. Girl Scouts, even. A ton of people with national guilt when there's no one living alive in the United States right now that had anything to do with slavery, black or white.
But I'm specifically concerned about what I see happening in the country, and particularly crystallized in the Democrat Party. Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, has endorsed Ilhan Omar in the Democrat primary in Minneapolis, running against somebody who has specifically challenged her and others on her anti-Semitism. Nancy Pelosi endorses her. Nancy Pelosi brings a resolution to the floor about a year ago, waters it down, even though it's aimed at Omar and her persistent anti-Semitic statements, and anti-American statements, too. The Democrat Party, as an institution, has not been speaking out against anti-Semitism. Of course, it hasn't been speaking out against the riots or anything of the sort. Do you see this as a growing problem in the Democrat Party, and hence a growing problem in America?
It's a massive problem inside the Democratic Party. And the reason anti-Semitism is allowed is because it fits in with the broader overall vision of the Democratic Party at this point, which is that all of America is hierarchies of power, and that the only people who are victims in America are people who are part of historically marginalized groups, not people who are members of historically marginalized groups who may actually be victims of anti-Semitism, for example, because Jews are just too prosperous. Jews don't count as a minority group anymore because Jews are too economically sufficient, they're too economically advanced, too well-educated, so they just don't count as a minority anymore. You've seen the same thing with Asians, right? Asians are now discriminated against at Harvard and not allowed in because they're no longer a victimized minority. And so what the left has done is this ugly trick where they basically say that you are only perceived as a victim if you're a member of a group that is not only historically marginalized, but today is less successful successful than other groups. And this leads to the bizarre situation where if you are a member of one of those victim groups and you target another member of a historically marginalized group, that's perfectly okay. That's not a problem. Those are people in power.
Excuse me, who died and told the Democrat Party they could say who's marginalized and who's not, who's victimized and who's not, and who's entitled and who's not? Oh yeah, they call that politics, don't they? So let me get this straight. Politics in America, huh? Seems like all the Democrat politics are driving all their policies now, aren't they? Where policy meets politics. Or your politics are chasing your policies around, threatening to devour them and a nation. Another reason why sanctuary cities must be dissolved. They've become sanctuaries for criminals and whoever the Democrat Party says is entitled.
As soon as the intersectionality Olympics begins, and the people who are perceived as part of the successful in the United States are attacked, it doesn't matter what their group identity is, they're part of the successful and they're fair game.
You have true bigots and anti-Semites in the Democrat Party. From my perspective, you have Tlaib. Some of the things that she has said, I said Omar, there are others.
Excuse me, didn't they have the Jexit? And I've been calling for the Crexit. When are the Jews and the Christians gonna walk away from the Democrat Party?
The Republican Party, they rejected David Duke, or they vote down a Steve King. The Democrat Party writes letters to the Prime Minister of Israel and threatens the Prime Minister of Israel if they have right to return in some of the sovereign parts of ancient Israel. They don't write letters to the Palestinians. They don't write letters to Abbas. They don't write letters to Hamas. And they're perfectly happy, but they campaign on this, whereas the Republicans wrote a letter to the Prime Minister endorsing his position. Are we seeing a realignment in this country, and based in part on the base of the Democrat Party moving harder and harder toward the Marxist left, which is anti-Semitic?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, the realignment has already happened. I think that it's been in play for a long time, since the Obama era and beyond.
Wake up. Pay attention to this next point or two. It's critical you understand what's happening.
It's just, again, kind of bursting into full flowering right now. And a large part of that is because President Trump is so overtly pro-Israel. And this has driven the left to embrace anything that Trump dislikes. So the left will now embrace rioting and looting. They will embrace open hatred for Israel. Trump is the great catalyst. He's the great catalyst for all sort of polarization in the country, not through his own fault in cases like this, but simply because the left despises the man so much.
Well, Ben, you've written a great book, How to Destroy America in Three Easy Steps. I want to encourage people to get a copy of it. It's very, very important right now that people read this and understand it and act on it. Welcome back. I think it's fair to say, and I'm prepared to defend this, that the Democrat Party has become the anti-American party. What is it about America that the Democrat Party likes? You keep talking about fundamental transformation. Joe Biden has the Bernie Sanders, the Bolshevik agenda, which is to turn everything inside out. There's not any aspect of our culture, our society, they don't want to destroy and rebuild. Of course, they never provide us with the blueprints. We don't know exactly what they want to do. They just don't want to do what exists today. And that's a big problem, ladies and gentlemen. And they will do it by hook or by crook. They'll do it through the courts, through the bureaucracy, through elections, any way they possibly can. They will use the institutions that they attack to destroy the institutions. They will use the Constitution that they abhor to destroy our liberty. They never talk about the individual. Why is that? They never talk about individual responsibility and accountability. They never talk about morality and ethics. They never talk about limited government. They never talk about the possibilities of the individual in a free society. They never talk about all the wealth that capitalism has created. And most of them are very, very wealthy, whether they're in sports or Hollywood or Nancy Pelosi or in the media. And yet they condemn that which has made them free and living in a society like no other human beings on the face of the earth. You need to think very, very carefully about this election. This is a crucial election. This is an election between us and them. Those of us who revere this country, Western civilization, and the Enlightenment, and those that embrace a very dark ideology. An ideology that will ultimately destroy this country, destroy your freedom, and destroy your children and your grandchildren. You don't have to believe me. Just look at history. And it can happen quickly. Look at what's happened in the last 2 months. Like that. I'll see you next time on Life, Liberty, and Looking.
Are you paying attention, America? How do you like your communism today, America? Bottom line, the things that most Americans care about, the Democrat Party doesn't care about anymore. They don't care. They've become globalists. At least the leaders have. The ones who think they are the leaders of the Democrat Party. And are you gonna support them? Or are you going to kick him out of office? You, citizen, you, American citizen, have a choice to make. And your choice goes all the way from the bottom ballot to the top ballot. No matter what you do, top to bottom, things are going to change. And guess what? I don't think you're going to like the changes when they happen, because you've been silent for too long. Wake up, America! Wake up! You're about to lose your country, your constitution, and your freedom.